Brother David will appreciate your careful attention this evening as he brings us a message and also an interest in your private prayers. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. We think of this world as unchanging and stable, but we know that the Lord has promised us that it will change. And right now, one of the things that we see when we fly over the surface of the world is that 75% of the world is covered with water, whether it's fresh lakes or seawater or whatever, it takes up 3/4 of the world. That's one of the things that will change. And we can read that in Revelation, the 21st chapter. And Uncle Johnny read this morning as he was closing his sermon, and I'm going to open with it. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Well, if we think about a new world with no more sea, then that gives us a lot more room, doesn't it? It says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now that would be a big change for us, because we know that in flesh and blood today that we have sorrow, we have pain, we have tears. And if those things are done away, we don't have to worry about death or being sorrowful over anything, because it'll all be according to the will of God. And as he governs the new land, he's an unchangeable God. He doesn't change, men do. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely." This fountain of water of life is kind of what I wanted to study tonight. It's interesting how many times it comes up throughout the scripture. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." When we think about our bodies, you know, we're made of calcium, magnesium, and iron. Throw in a little zinc and some potassium and a few things like that. The rest of us, our flesh is made of water. You take that away and all you end up with is dust. And the minerals that make up the earth. And we're told that we were made out of the dust. And if you become a chemist, you figure out that that's true. And that which is flesh and blood will return to dust. But that is important is that which is spiritual. And if you drink of the water of the fountain of life, then Christ told us we'd never thirst again. So that becomes a spiritual part of us that lives on forever. I want to go to the 22nd chapter of Revelation, read the first 9 verses there. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree before the healing of the nations. Well, if we think about 12 fruits, we have the 12 tribes of Israel, which have spread throughout the face of the earth and made 12 nations. And there's a fruit for each one of those tribes on the tree of life. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to shew unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me those things. Then saith he unto me, see that thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And so even the angel that revealed a lot of the revelation to John told John to worship God and not to worship those that are fellow servants. Because God was the spiritual leader. He's the head of all that life is. Whether it be spiritual life or whether it be the temporal life of flesh and blood, God is preparing us and hoping for the best that we become his sons, his daughters. And it is only him that has the power to do so. This reading reminds me so much of Lehi's vision when it speaks of the tree of life and of the fountain of the river flowing from that tree. And I want to read that on the first book of Nephi chapter 2. I'm going to start on page 20 right at the top. And this is a rather lengthy reading, but it's worth reading. It says, and it came to pass that I saw a man, and he was dressed in a white robe, and he came and stood before me. And it came to pass that he spake unto me, and bade me to follow him. And it came to pass that as I followed him, I beheld myself, that I was in a dark and dreary place. And after I had traveled for the space of many hours in darkness, I began to pray unto the Lord that he would have mercy on me, according to the multitude of his tender mercies. And it came to pass, after I had prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree, whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof. And I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I ever before tasted. Yea, and I beheld the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also, for I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit. And as I cast my eyes round about, that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld a river of water, and it ran along as it was near the tree which I was partaking the fruit. And I looked to behold from whence it came, and I saw the head thereof a little way off. And at the head thereof I beheld your mother Sariah and Sam and Nephi, and they stood as if they knew not whither they should go. And it came to pass that I beckoned unto them. I also did say unto them with a loud voice that they should come unto me and partake of the fruit which was desirable above all other fruit. And it came to pass that they did come unto me and partake of the fruit also. And it came to pass that I was desirous that Laman and Lemuel should come and partake of the fruit also. Wherefore I cast mine eyes toward the head of the river, that perhaps I might see them. And it came to pass that as I saw them, that they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led to the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commence in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an ever exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they who had commenced on the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes about, and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building. And it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those who had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. And now I, Nephi, do not speak all the words of my father, but to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward continually, holding fast to the rod of iron, until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. And he also saw other multitudes feeling their way towards that great and spacious building, and it came to pass that many were drowned in the depths of the fountain, and many were lost from his view, wandering in strange roads. And great was the multitude that did enter into that strange building. And after they did enter into the building, they did point the finger of scorn at me. And those were partaking of the fruit also, but we heeded them not. As we see people go through life, they travel across this large field, across this world. And there are times of darkness when we are dependent upon the Lord to lead us. And if we grab a hold of that rod of iron and hold on to that rod of iron, which is the Word of God, then we can walk that straight, narrow path that leads to this tree of life. And some were drowned in troubled waters. Some were lost in darkness to wander about. Some knew and believed and tasted of the fruit of life and then rejected it because of the pressures from the world pointing the fingers at them and mocking them. There's a place in the scripture where it says, who can separate us from God? You know, they can do anything to our flesh and blood. They can even take life away from our flesh and blood, but they cannot take our souls. They cannot take that which is spiritual and belongs to God. Nothing can separate us from God except ourselves. And that's what Nephi was saying here when he's quoting his dad, and he says that they saw him pointing the fingers at them and mocking them, and they heeded them not. You don't have to heed to that peer pressure from the world. It's not important. People who want to point the fingers and scorn you because you believe in the one that created us. Even the devils believe in God and in Christ. For when Christ cast the devils out, they would turn to him and say, what have we to do with thee, O Son of God? And he, if you remember, he casted them into a herd of swine. And that herd of swine ran over a bluff and killed themselves. The devils know who he is. The devils believe in him. But the world chooses not to, because they are led by Satan. And Satan works very hard to scorn us, to discourage us who have partaken of the fruit of life, who know the truth and believe in what is everlasting. It's something that Christ promised. I want to read one of those places where Christ promised this. And that was at Jacob's well. We can read about that in John, the 4th chapter. I'm going to start on verse 5. In the 4th chapter of John. Christ was traveling here and says he must go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, Give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Can you imagine what it would be like to have that conversation? For Christ to tell you of this living water, that you would never thirst again if you took of the water that he has. And then you find out that you're talking to the Son of God. And this woman believed it. And she was shocked, I believe, because when she left, it says that the woman then left her water pot and went away into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She forgot that she went there for water to drink, because she'd been filled with something else. She'd been filled with the Spirit of knowing that she'd come face to face with the Messiah. I want to go to the 8th chapter of Matthew. This is another place where it involved water, when Christ went onto a ship to travel a little ways on a ship, and his disciples followed him. Matthew 8, verse 23 is where I'm going to start. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? We see here the power that Christ had. Something that wasn't of this world, that wasn't flesh and blood. It was power given to him by the Father through that Holy Spirit. And these disciples were amazed at it. Even though they were following him and seeing the miracles that he did, They couldn't believe their eyes when he stilled the waters of the ocean. That was almost too much for them. That he could handle nature. That he could set at peace that which was a tempest. There was another time in Matthew 14 when one of his disciples came face to face with that reality. Chapter 14 of Matthew, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So we see that even Christ needed time alone. And when you think about it, when Christ spoke to people, he usually spoke to a multitude of people. Many people, all at the same time. Thousands. As far as we know, they didn't have any megaphones, public address systems. But he was able to stand on a ship and talk to the shoreline that was full of people, and they could all hear. He could speak in synagogues with hundreds of people, and they would all hear. He would stand on a hill and give a sermon, and the thousands of people would hear him. You know, if we tried that this weekend, we would have had to fight the wind. We would have had to fight the cold. The things of nature that make us miserable and make it so we can't hear. But when Christ spoke, they all heard. And nature heard that too. And nature cooperated with these people to the point where they would spend so many hours listening to Christ that they would faint from hunger. And then he would feed them miraculously with a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. And everyone was filled. 5,000. Filled with a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. Christ definitely had the power. He definitely had God with him. And if you remember, I said God's an unchangeable God. He can be with us today in the same way. So that those that need to hear can hear. Reading on here. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. I skipped one. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now we know that that's not physically possible, is it? That we walk on water as flesh and blood. So we see here that the Spirit was with Peter, strong enough that Peter could do as Christ did, walking on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. You know, Peter, still being a flesh and blood, had a weakness, just as we all do, because we're all flesh and blood. And a little bit of doubt entered into his mind. And he realized he was walking on the water. When he realized that, he saw the big waves, the boisterous sea. He had a little bit of doubt whether or not he could walk out there and reach Christ. So he began to sink. Just like those people in Lehi's vision who walked into the darkness. Those that walked into the troubled waters and were drowned. Those that paid attention to the mocking of the rich, the high and mighty in the world, that thought they were so much better than those that were meek and faithful, partaking of the fruit of that tree of life. They think they have what life is all about. With their pride and their riches, their scorn, their mocking. Christ has warned us about that. Just as in this vision that Lehi had, these people begin to sink. Because they've let go of that spiritual truth just a little bit. And it doesn't take long before we're way offline. And if we're not holding on to that rod of iron to pull ourselves up, then we can be lost and not be able to find our way back. One of the things that I noticed when I was reading that vision of Lehi is that when they got to the end where that tree of life was, they were tired. But as they let go of that rod of iron, they fell on their knees at that tree to partake of that fruit. They had been through the great field. They had been through the midst of darkness and the troubled waters. And they had held on tight and made it. And knew of a surety that they had the living water, that they had found the fountain of youth right there. And then they would have a little bit of doubt even after that and begin to fall away ashamed. We need to not heed unto those that scorn us. We need to hold on fast to that which we know is true, that which Christ has promised, that living water that will last forever for those that endure to the end. And in the end, we will have that new Jerusalem, that new world to live in, without tears, without pain, without sorrow, without death. Even where Christ says that the lamb and the lion will live with each other in peace. A world that is without turmoil and without contentious waters. Because the power of God is there to calm it. Because he will dwell there with us. Something to work for in this life, you bet, is something I'm going to work for. I'm going to hold on to that rod of iron. That rod of iron is found right here in this record that was left for us to study, to teach out of, to learn as we go through life, to take the hard knocks and be able to hold on to that rod of iron and come right back up and say, thank you. Thank you for watching over me, Lord. Once in a while, we get knocked down and we get discouraged. But if we hold on tight and if we support each other, the next thing you know, you're walking in the sunlight. And you're drinking freely of the river of life that Christ has promised unto us. Something worth leaving our water pot at the well for and going and spreading to the rest of the world what we have found when we came face to face with our Lord and Savior. Thank you.